BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk, ladies and gentlemen. I am so thankful. I am so thankful that God is in control, that God is sovereign, that His plan is going to come exactly as He has ordained it. Because as I see the stories that are going on in the news this week and things that are underway and matters that are happening here, it would cause one to fear if we didn't have total trust and confidence in the Lord. Because God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And certainly we see an unsoundness of mind in our society today. Certainly we've gone off the rails in so many, many regards, but God's in control, and I'm so glad He is. I'm so thankful for that aspect. We're going to be sharing what's going on in the news and so many things that are either unreported or underreported so that you can be informed, so that you can be in prayer, so that you will sense the urgency of the times in which we live, of being salt, of being light, and the most important aspect, of course, is sharing the gospel with others. In such a time as this, and in such a time as this is ever upon us. We're going to delve into our news roundup today, and again, we thank God that He is in control. We are living in a time when man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. The downward moral spiral that is taking place is shocking at times. But again, we keep our eyes on the Savior, not on politics, and that's so critically important. Let's begin with a story here. Many of you remember the story of the boys, the younger boys, James Younger, 7-year-old James Younger, whose mother enrolled him in kindergarten as a girl, now has been finally able to attend school as a boy for the first time. His parents fought over whether he should be subjected to gender transition, garnered national attention. Jeffrey Younger was fighting to prevent his wife from transitioning James into Luna. The custody battle over James and his twin Jude sparked public outcry. Even the governor of Texas called for an investigation. Well, on October 24th, Judge Kim Crooks, as we shared on Crosstalk, awarded joint managing conservatorship and joint decision-making of James and Jude to both the mother and the father. Well, according to a Facebook post, James chose to wear boy clothes to school while he was staying with his father. And prior to the judge's ruling, he had been with his mother, called him Luna, dressed him in girl's clothes to go to school. And now the shocking story has come out from LifeSiteNews.com on Wednesday of this week that the mother who wants to transition James Younger into a girl is now asking that the jury's original decision that indicated that she be awarded sole managing conservatorship over the boy be upheld. Dr. Georgelis filed a petition on Tuesday requesting that Judge Kim Crooks recuse herself from the case and a motion to confirm the jury's verdict. Jeff Younger was fighting to prevent his ex-wife from transitioning James into Luna. The governor called for an investigation. It was a jury that found that joint custody agreement should be changed. And The judge has ruled that the parents are to be involved in joint decision-making and that Mr. Younger's time with the boys would be expanded to allow him to have his boys on school nights, and that the mother could not transition him to medical transitioning without his consent, although a court-appointed individual would be able to make decisions if the parents could not come to an agreement. Well, Tuesday, the mother has now asked for attorneys to file a motion requesting that Judge Crooks recuse herself and asking that the jury ruling be upheld. Don't stop praying for little James Younger. From the ChristianPost.com, following an outcry of 7-year old James Younger, the push to ban medical gender transitioning for minors is now expanding to other states. Republicans in three states have now either announced their intentions or are already drafting bills that would restrict or assign criminal penalties to the practice of medically altering the biological sex of a child in pursuit of becoming the opposite sex, known as transitioning. Proposed legislation is underway in Georgia, Texas, and Kentucky. LifeSiteNews.com, troubling story. The Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms is representing a young girl, we're going to call the girl NB, and her mother in an application before the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal against the Ottawa-Carleton District School Board. The application includes a claim for discrimination on the basis of sex and notes that the child's rights to security of the person and equality have been infringed. NB was a six-year-old student in a grade one class taught by JB. The teacher showed the class a YouTube video entitled "He, She, and They?" Gender Queer Kid Stuff Number 2. Well, the video asserted that some people are not boys or girls, and that those who do not feel like a she or a he might have no gender. The video says all you have to do is ask someone their pronouns. On another occasion, JB drew a gender spectrum on the board and asked each student to identify where they fit on the spectrum. Well, this little girl indicated she was on the furthest end of the spectrum, marked girl. JB told the class that girls are not real and boys are not real. Folks, this is being taught to elementary kids. Boys are not real, girls are not real. Well, this upset this little girl. She went home and told her parents repeatedly, asking why her identity as a girl was not real. She asked if she could go to the doctor on this issue. She expressed feeling that she had to do something about the fact that she is a girl, and that she might not be real. You know, her mom is concerned enough to seek guidance, had to take her to a psychologist. Unbelievable, this brainwashing that is going on, and young, innocent children are being preyed upon. They are the victims. From the Western Journal, the amount of time that children and teens spend on social media is becoming an increasing concern across the country. A new survey reveals that 69% of parents of school-aged children admit to feeling addicted to their phones. The results show that parents not only feel addicted to their phones, but that their addiction is getting in the way of quality time with their children. The average parent surveyed spent 2 hours and 41 minutes of quality time with their children each day, compared to 2 hours and 17 minutes on their phones. That's only a 24-minute difference. Some children seem to be noticing parents having quality time with their phones rather than their children. From LifeNews.com, former President Bill Clinton admitted Wednesday that abortion was a major factor in his decision to nominate Ruth Bader Ginsburg to the U.S. Supreme Court. Clinton said during a speech at Georgetown University Law School, quote, "There is one thing that we did discuss, and I feel I should tell you because it will illustrate why I thought I should appoint her. That issue was abortion on demand and the precedent of Roe v. Wade." According to National Review, Clinton's comments also suggest that Ginsburg may have lied during her U.S. Senate confirmation hearings. During her confirmation, Ginsburg was asked if anyone involved in the process of selecting her discussed any specific case, legal issue, or question concerning her position on such case, issue, or question. She said, she wrote in response, "It's inappropriate, in my judgment, to seek from any nominee for judicial office assurance on how that individual would rule in a future case." And then she wrote, "No such person discussed with me any specific case, legal issue, or question in a manner that could reasonably be interpreted as seeking any express or implied assurances concerning my position on such case, issue, or question." Well, now we got a discrepancy. Former President Bill Clinton admitted Wednesday that, indeed, he did run this by Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She, in her confirmation, said, no, he didn't, or anyone. Let's go to CBN. President Trump just celebrated the appointment of his 150th federal judge Wednesday, a huge milestone that will have a lasting impact. The president said a truly momentous achievement. "They will uphold our Constitution as written, distinguished men and women, some of the most gifted scholars, respected jurists, and finest legal minds ever placed on the federal bench." Very interesting, because Matt Stavert, Liberty Counsel, highlighted further. He said working with the Senate, President Trump has now had 158 judicial nominees confirmed to the federal bench, two Supreme Court justices, 44 circuit court judges, 112 district court judges. Approximately one out of every four active judges on U.S. Court of Appeals has been appointed by President Trump, flipping the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit from a Democrat-appointed majority to a Republican-appointed majority. Numerous other federal courts have been tilted from an even split to a Republican-appointed majority. The Second and 11th Circuits are likely to be flipped by the end of the year. Judges appointed by President Trump are expected to give the nation more than 2,600 years of combined judicial service. The average age of circuit judges appointed by President Trump is less than 50 years old. That's a full decade younger than the average age of President Obama's circuit nominees. President Trump has consistently nominated people who are committed to originalism. Judges who interpret the law according to the Constitution are critical for maintaining the rule of law and the proper balance of the three branches of government. President Trump, Matt Staver says, is already creating a legacy that will last for decades. From LifeSiteNews.com, for the second year in a row, the U.S. kept abortion-related language out of a U.N. Security Council resolution on women in crisis and conflict. It's a victory for the Trump administration, which has been pushing to eliminate the phrase sexual and reproductive health from U.N. documents. LifeNews.com reports a new report indicating President Trump has been responsible for defunding almost 900 facilities that either perform or promote killing babies in abortion. Last May, the Trump administration published a new proposal for Title 10 that would prohibit Planned Parenthood and other abortion businesses from receiving any of those tax dollars unless they completely separate their abortion businesses from their taxpayer-funded services. Well, federal courts eventually let the defunding rules move forward, and eventually Planned Parenthood and other abortion activists left the Title 10 program and gave up $60 million of taxpayer dollars. 900 abortion clinics have lost taxpayer funding due to the actions by President Trump. LifeSiteNews.com, Senate Leader Mitch McConnell withdrew the overseas funding bill from a package of appropriation bills last week because of pro-life concerns. You see, an individual, Senator Jeanne Shaheen of New Hampshire, had made a last-minute amendment to the Senate and Foreign Operations bill to increasing funding to groups that promote abortions overseas. Her amendment also directed funding to the pro-abortion UN Population Agency. Pro-life leaders saw the amendment as an attempt to undermine and evade the administration's signature international pro-life policy, you know, the Mexico City policy, saying that the amendment violated a budget deal reached in August where Republicans in the White House had agreed to raise the debt ceiling, provided the Democrats refrained from adding poison pill amendments during the appropriation process. Election Day was held in some states here on Tuesday. The Women's March tweeted an image out Tuesday calling on women to cast spells in order to defeat the patriarchy. It's Election Day, November 5th. All power to the people, all people to the polls. If you're eligible, get out there and vote, Women's March group tweeted. Attached was an illustration with the caption, "Casting spells and casting votes, fighting the patriarchy any way we can." Interesting indeed. Women's March endorsement of the power of witchcraft comes a month after thousands of activists cast a spell to protect humans, trees, animals, and the elements from President Trump. We'll have some more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what formed Utah's Great Salt Lake?
Chris, the Great Salt Lake is much more salty than seawater because it has water coming in but no rivers leaving the lake. Whatever dissolved solids come in stay there, and as the water evaporates, the lake increases in salinity. It turns out that Salt Lake is really just a leftover remnant of a much larger lake called Lake Bonneville. When the Great Flood of Noah's Day drained off the continents and places water ponded and became inland lakes, Most of these lakes have since drained either through evaporation or through catastrophic failure of the natural dams which were holding them in. Lake Bonneville evidently drained northward through the Snake River Canyon within the last few thousand years. Chris, all the evidence fits that back-to-Genesis truth of Earth history.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
It's a Friday News Roundup Day today, and again, bringing to your attention stories that are either unreported or underreported to certainly keep you informed, and I trust it burdens your heart in prayer for this nation and to be praying for our nation's leaders, to be praying for the upcoming election. Lord willing, Tuesday, Sam Rohrer will be joining us from American Pastors Network as we talk about this 52 Tuesday initiative of praying for the upcoming November election. Interesting story from LifeNews.com. Pro-life Lieutenant Governor Tate Reeves on Tuesday defeated the Attorney General Jim Hood to become the next governor of the state, winning with 52.2% of the vote. Interesting that Reeves has strongly supported pro-life. He said, quote, "I'm committed to making Mississippi the safest place in America for an unborn child." Also, interesting news, that trial continues in the state of California with Sandy Merritt and Troy Newman and David DeLaden. David DeLaden's fourth day and final day in the witness stand testified that the Texas Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast Abortion Clinic planned to move forward on a deal he pitched to them as an undercover investigator to buy aborted baby livers for $750 each. On day 13 of the Planned Parenthood Federation of America versus Center for Medical Progress federal civil trial, LifeSiteNews.com reports that he also confirmed that before CMP released its undercover videos in July of 2015, that he went to 10 law enforcement agencies, both state and federal, with evidence of violent crimes, including babies killed by vivisection committed by the organ harvesting industry. He exposed Planned Parenthood's trafficking in aborted baby parts and further testified that fetal tissue procurement company, the fictitious company Biomax, designed a brochure that included a specifically criminal transaction over fetal body parts, which was a per-volume kickback based on the number of body parts sold. Well, from Jihad Watch, thousands of Iranians chanted "Death to America" near the old U.S. Embassy on Monday. It was the 40th anniversary and the seizure of the mission, which the country's army chief compared the U.S. with a poisonous scorpion intent on harming Iran. Hardline Islamist students stormed the embassy soon after the fall of the U.S.-backed Shah, and 52 Americans were held hostage for then 444 days. The two countries have been enemies since. On Sunday, the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei renewed a ban on talks with the United States, describing two countries as implacable foes. From Town Hall, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo marked the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. The official anniversary is this Sunday, November 9th. Oh, troubling story here. The National Abortion Federation Board of Directors have announced that the very Reverend Catherine Hancock Ragsdale has been named president and CEO. Sue Carlisle, NAF's board chair, stated that Catherine has demonstrated her unwavering commitment to serving our members and her great vision for the future of NAF, National Abortion Federation. Ragsdale is an Episcopal priest who has been outspoken about abortion rights, LGBTQ equality, and public policy issues affecting women and families. Reverend Ragsdale has preached about how abortion is a blessing and has been active in clinic defense work and other activities to support abortion providers for more than 35 years. Said Ragsdale, quote, "Abortion providers are some of my personal heroes and modern day saints. It's an honor to be able to serve and support NAF members." LifeNews.com reports a federal judge has struck down the pro-life rules implemented by President Trump protecting medical professionals like doctors or nurses from being forced to kill babies in abortion or make referrals for abortion. Despite current law that has protected conscience rights for over 30 years, 20 states have filed a lawsuit seeking to overturn these pro-life conscience protections. And District Judge Paul Engelmeyer invalidated the rule on multiple grounds, including a finding that it violated the Constitution's spending clause by allowing the administration to cut off funds approved by Congress to providers who do not comply with the rule by forcing employees to perform services to which they object. A number of states, including New York, as well as Planned Parenthood and other groups, had sued over the rule, which was scheduled to go into effect on November 22nd. So now we have a judge striking down the pro-life rule protecting doctors from being forced to participate in abortions. Out of the United Kingdom, Christian.org reporting that a woman says she felt forced to resign from Doula UK after being labeled transphobic. She was labeled transphobic for saying that only women can give birth. Lindsay McCarthy Calvert was working for the charity which provides women with birth coaches when she criticized Cancer Research UK for dropping the word women from its messaging on certain tests. Well, Doula threatened to suspend her if she did not remove her Facebook post after 20 trans activists complained. The birth coach of 6 years said she was made to feel unwelcome by the organization, eventually quit, said, "I'm angry, I'm sad, I was effectively ostracized for saying I'm a woman and so are my clients. Forced out. She's a birth coach, but and forced out because she's saying only women can give birth. Trans activists outraged at this. And speaking of such, you know, I see all these so-called hate crimes that are purported to the public light by the Human Rights Campaign. Well, somehow they missed this one. This is coming to us from ChristianHeadlines.com. An elderly man preaching the gospel seriously injured on a New York subway when a person attacked him with a stiletto heel. This is a 75-year-old man who's being beaten. Police say the 79-year-old man stood in the middle of the aisle with a Bible and shared his faith. The attack left a gash on his head and took 30 stitches to close. But according to an Instagram user who recorded the incident, the attack occurred by a transgender woman. That's a biological male posing, identifying as a woman. This old man right here was just singing some gospel songs and sharing the word of God to people on the train. He didn't say anything to hurt anyone. He wasn't even loud. You could barely hear him, a passenger said. You could barely hear him talk, but this is what he got in return from a transgender. The individual then fled the subway after the attack. The injured man was treated at NYU Hospital. I mean, a biological male identifying as a woman attacking a 79-year-old man, beating him on the head with a heel, requiring all these stitches. I thought I heard this slogan, preach love, not hate. LifeSiteNews.com, the Trump administration announced last Friday that it will not be enforcing Obama-era rules, forcing faith-based adoption and foster agencies to place children in same-sex households, and propose new rules specifying, specifically recognizing the religious and conscience rights of such organizations. Whereas the Obama administration added sexual orientation language to non-discrimination rules governing federal funds to adoption and foster agencies, the Trump Department of Health and Human Services announced it will be replacing it with a new rule, includes legislation ensuring the protection of religious liberty. Ryan Anderson of the Heritage Foundation said no adoption agency or foster care service should be penalized simply because they believe children deserve both a mom and a dad. Well, Delta Airlines, this is LifeSiteNews.com, has acquiesced to demands from pro-homosexual advocates and have now stopped censoring explicit homosexual sex scenes from in-flight movies. In a statement, Delta said, "We are reviewing the processes of our third-party editing vendors to ensure that they are aligned with our values of diversity and inclusion." They were receiving edited films before. Evidently, some complained. And as a result, Delta changing their policies. The studio has agreed to provide a special Delta edit that retains, not refrains, but retains the LGBTQ plus love scenes, Delta spokesman said. Okay, Terry Bean, high-profile Democrat Party donor who is also a homosexual who was recently arrested for sodomy-related felonies paid $200,000 to a 15-year-old boy to make sex abuse charges go away, court documents revealed, as reported here by LifeSiteNews.com. Police charged Bean and his ex-boyfriend with two felony charges in 2014. The charges were resurrected and a warrant for his arrest was issued after Portland Police Detective Jeff Myers uncovered that an elaborate scheme to keep investigators from finding the boy. Bean is co-founder of the Human Rights Campaign. Let's see. Oh, yeah, here's another person. So we had Jack Phillips, you know, with the cake designer. And now we have a web designer in Colorado who's coming under fire, Lori Smith, being represented by Alliance Defending Freedom. She is a web designer here and focuses on marriages and so forth, providing graphics and has a conviction against same-sex weddings. And if she does not create websites celebrating same-sex, the state commission says that they will punish her. Okay, well, finally, there's some border funding from the House of Representatives. The Democrat-controlled House of Representatives has voted to fund efforts to enhance the border security. Oh, it's of Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, and Tunisia, while denying all funding to build walls, fencing, or other structures to enhance the border security of the United States. To them, borders on the other side of the world are more important than our own, reports CNSNews.com. No funding in the bill for new physical barriers along the southwest border, they reported. Tucson, Arizona, Daily Signal reporting in a major defeat for illegal alien advocates. Voters in Tucson overwhelmingly rejected a proposal to designate it as the state's one and only sanctuary city. Tucson voters Tuesday resoundedly opposed an initiative known as Proposition 205 that would have given sweeping protections to illegal aliens and prohibited local law enforcement from working with ICE. At the close of polls, over 71% of voters rejected the measure. Let's look at Virginia. All four Virginia prosecutor candidates backed by liberal billionaire George Soros emerged victorious in Tuesday's election. In addition to the $1.2 million in funds Soros spent on the House of Delegates and Senate races in the Commonwealth, he funneled an additional $2 million to four Democratic prosecutor candidates. Their candidates' wins could lead to a major shift in Virginia's criminal justice system. Also, from LifeSiteNews.com, despite Virginia's top three officials being implicated in infanticide, blackface, and sexual assault scandals, Democrats took control of the state's government Tuesday night. In Fairfax County, Democrats in favor of an already implemented sex education curriculum that emphasizes transgender theory and also deviant behavior took the seat on the school board's taking away from the lone dissenter Elizabeth Schultz. Kathy Ruiz with the Family Research Council said, "We are heartsick for the children of Fairfax County." LifeSiteNews.com also reports that most Fairfax County, Virginia parents don't know that every year, beginning in seventh grade, their children will be taught lessons on transgender theory. The Daily Signal reporting also in Loudoun County, Virginia. Parents are outraged after discovering that thousands of books were placed in classrooms across the school district this year as part of a new diverse classroom library initiative. Parents began to discover that an alarming number of books focused on sexual diversity containing explicitly sexual language in them, reports the Daily Signal. I've got some more stories right after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk, a news roundup day here on the VCY America Network.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's Republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Again, enough stories here for another two Crosstalk programs, but let me cover a few more issues here on this news roundup day. Certainly not all-inclusive, but certainly representative of the types of things that are going on out there. We see a story here as well from ChristianNews.net. A lawmaker and a pastor's wife in Finland is facing a preliminary incitement investigation over a booklet that she wrote 15 years ago. What was the title? It was entitled Male and Female, He Created Them. According to the prosecutor general, there is reason to believe that because of the defamation of homosexuals by the violation of their human dignity, that she is guilty of incitement to hatred against a group. Her husband is a pastor with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland, which is the largest denomination in the country. He's known for defending life and marriage, standing against abortion, euthanasia, and homosexuality. But now, she's facing accusations of incitement of hatred because of her book, Male and Female, He Created Them. FoxNews.com tells us Republican incumbent Governor Matt Bevin requesting a re-canvass in Kentucky's gubernatorial race after initial results from Tuesday night showed he trailed by about 5,000 votes. Michael Bloomberg expected to file for Alabama 2020 presidential primary, looking like he might be getting into the race. Interesting, in Florida, there's some issues. New American reporting that in late October, the sheriff's office in Brevard County on the Atlantic coast took to Facebook to announce that in the coming months, its squad cars would begin sporting some new patriotic messages of faith in God and pride in America. Also, new graphics of an American flag and the phrase, In God We Trust, prominently displayed on each unit. Well, that sure did not please Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation, who's jumped into action urging the sheriff and his department to remove the stickers from the squad cars. Oh, this story will not capture national news from the Washington Free Beacon. A Florida woman who was 8 months pregnant used an AR-15 to defend her husband and daughter against two armed intruders. Two armed men broke into their family home, grabbing the woman's husband, Jeremy King, and the couple's 11-year-old daughter while demanding money. I'm telling them I have nothing for you. And they're like, give me everything you've got. It became a real violent really fast, said Mr. King. That was the moment that his wife came out of a back room. After one of the intruders shot at her, she retrieved the family's AR-15 rifle, then used it to shoot and kill one of the intruders and scare the other. King said he was left with a broken eye socket, fractured sinus cavity, concussion, 20 stitches, and 3 staples. He credits his wife's quick actions for saving his life. No, you're not going to hear that story. It doesn't meet the narrative on the gun control debate. By the way, Daily Wire reporting on The View, ABC's Joy BR, suggested that Democrats should wait until they're elected into public office before they reveal to the American public their true political intentions, saying they should not tell everybody what they're going to do. Like, if you're going to take away people's guns, wait until you get elected and then take the guns away. Don't tell them ahead of time. From the Western Journal, after years of Common Core, Betsy DeVos announces some devastating results. Disastrous long-term results of the program are finally being seen. As reported in the Department of Education's 2019 National Assessment of Education Progress Report, every American family needs to open the nation's report card this year, Betsy DeVos said. The results are frankly devastating. This country is in a student achievement crisis, and over the past decade, it has continued to worsen, she added. This is a test administered to 4th and 8th graders, covers both math and reading proficiency. DeVos said this must be America's wake-up call. We cannot abide these poor results any longer. We can neither excuse them away nor simply throw more money at the problem. Studies have linked Common Core to declining test scores and generally poor student performance. Results from the Program for International Student Assessment, which tests students internationally on their proficiency in math, science, and reading, shows that China ranks a full 21 spots ahead of the United States. Well, let's see what's happening in some classrooms. Let's go to North Carolina. First-year Spanish teacher in North Carolina is under investigation. Julia Lopp of Johnston High School in North Carolina had her students line up based on whether they believed in God and whether they had mental health issues or panic attacks. She then allegedly asked whether they supported or opposed abortion, LGBT rights, and warned that if word of this exercise ever left the classroom, that she would not give the leaking students job or college recommendations. Well, news of the incident did leak out. School officials suspended her with pay while they turned the matter over to human resources for investigation. Superintendent saying this is an unfortunate incident. I wish it not happened. It's never appropriate for a teacher to segregate students based on religious, political, or personal beliefs. In fact, it's not appropriate for a teacher to even ask a student what their beliefs are. Interesting indeed. Let me mention this too. Tomorrow is the 25th anniversary gala for CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, defending, educating, empowering. That's the theme, building the next generation of American Muslims. 25th anniversary gala being held in Washington, D.C. And what's interesting is that this week, the Council on American Islamic Relations, JETPAC, that's a nonprofit organization dedicated to increasing American Muslim representatives in politics and the media, and Empower Change, one of the largest Muslim-led social and racial justice organizations in the U.S., reported that Tuesday of this week, 26 American Muslims had electoral victories nationwide. Throughout 2019, CARE, JETPAC, and Empower have identified at least 34 Muslim candidates who won elections in local and statewide races across the country. And after Tuesday's result, there were winnings in Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and in Washington State. Some of these are city council positions. Some of them are school board positions that were won. Some are Senate district positions or House of Delegate positions that have been victorious there. And also, as the Sons of Liberty Media points out, in Minnesota, the first Muslim Somali woman won a city council seat and wouldn't even speak English to the people during the interview. Very interesting indeed. Her platform, by the way, affordable housing, climate change, and racial equity. Let's open the phone lines. If you want to comment on these or other current event news stories, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. From the Free Beacon, an election integrity watchdog has found 24,000 instances of irregularities among the voter rolls in the Palm Beach County, Florida, according to a new report. The Public Interest Legal Foundation, a group that litigates to protect election integrity, discovered double voting by the same registrants, double registrants across state lines, deceased voters on rolls, and apparent non-citizens previously registered to vote in Palm Beach County following a three-month investigation involving office visits, records inspections, and voter roll audits. The findings raise concerns in the swing state 1 year out from the 2020 elections. Our number to Crosstalk today is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Todd Starnes writes about a teacher publicly shaming students for their prayer poster. A North Carolina high school teacher publicly shamed students who belong to a Christian group after they posted a Bible verse about prayer. They wrote on their poster about prayer, "Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything." The Fellowship of Christian Athletes at West Johnson High School wrote on a hallway poster. Well, the teacher, Brian Van Derlask, posted a personal message alongside the Bible verse saying, if you are sick and you should go to the doctor, this is a terrible medical advice. Some people have died, gone to jail because of it. The teacher also posted a copy of the online news article about parents who were sent to jail for relying on prayers to save their dying daughter. Now, their poster said, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything, with the verse Philippians 4:6. The school district had issued a statement noting that they were working with the school principal to fully investigate the facts and decide on an appropriate response. The teacher has since apologized for their behavior. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Miami, Florida. Courtney, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Oh, God bless you. God bless all you saints. I thank God for your news today, and I thank God for all you saints praying for that little boy, that he be raised, the little boy. And I want to say one other thing on your news report where you talked about a preacher on the aisle just preaching the word and a sodomite jumped on him. A long time ago, if such a person would have jumped on a man, us men would have jumped on him and held him for the police. But this shows you parents, with your report of what they're teaching in the schools and things, check your sons and daughters' school books all the time and ask them, what are they teaching you at school? Pray for your kids, stay in the Word, and let me say one other thing right fast. Saints, God's church ain't weak. The preachers ain't weak. God's church is strong. Amen. And His word is settled in heaven. God bless all y'all and have a wonderful and a blessed weekend.
Thank you, Courtney. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. By the way, from Free Beacon as well, the mayor of Honolulu as adding his city to a list of governments that are suing major energy producers like ExxonMobil and BP for damages related to climate change, even though courts have proven reluctant to wade into such matters, and translating those damages into hard dollar amounts is nearly impossible. Remember Josh Harris? I kissed dating goodbye, and he kissed Christianity goodbye, and kissed his wife goodbye, and etc. Well, he has now admitted that he excommunicated people from his church and now eventually has excommunicated himself. He said, I was a leader and a spokesman, and I called people to live in a very particular ways, to sacrifice in very particular ways. And so for me to change in my thinking feels like a betrayal to them. I excommunicated people. If you're not living according to the teachings of the Bible, you're living in unrepentant sin, then you have to be put out of the church. And I think I came to a point of recognizing, you know what? I'm not living according to this. And I held other people to the standard. And you know, I excommunicated myself essentially. Harris, who is lead pastor of Covenant Life Church, the founding church of Sovereign Grace Ministries in Gaithersburg, Maryland, said that. He said, I was really just trying to be honest about the fact that all the ways that I had defined faith in Christianity, that I was no longer choosing to live according to those, most significantly, the decision that my wife and I made to end our marriage, he said. Want to just get this in here before the break, then back to the phones. Our number here, 800-733-9829. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders said that all Democrats, no matter what candidate they support, agree that they must defeat President Donald Trump, who he called the most dangerous president in the history of the country. He called him a pathological liar, a man who's running the most corrupt administration in the history of our country, a man who does not understand the role of law or our Constitution, and a man who will soon be impeached, said Bernie Sanders. I'd get your reaction to that. He said we must defeat the most dangerous president in the history of our country. Do you agree with him? Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Sadly, through things like the BDS movement, which is the Marxist, Islamic, anti-Semitic, Jew-hating campaign known as Boycott, Divestment, Sanction, they're trying to boycott Israel. really what they're trying to do, folks, is to set up Jews all over the world to be persecuted and make it acceptable. But those guys out there pushing BDS and all this anti-Zionism, they like to say that Israel are the new Nazis. I know, it's offensive. That's what they're saying. Israel and the Jews and the Zionists are the new Nazis. They also say Israel is filled with racists. They're a racist state. They're an apartheid state. Well, perhaps they don't know that in 1991, as well as in the 1980s, but in 1991 specifically, Israel raised $35 million in 2 days to buy over 14,000 Ethiopian Jews, fly in 36 aircraft, and rescue black Ethiopian Jews and bring them back to Israel for safe keeping. How about that for so-called racism?
Yeah, if you missed that last story before the break, Bernie Sanders has come forth saying that all Democrats agree they must defeat President Donald Trump. He called him the most dangerous president in the history of the country, called him a pathological liar, a man running the most corrupt administration in the history of the country, a man who does not understand the role of law or our Constitution, and a man who will soon be impeached, Bernie said. And then Joe Biden on Saturday said, literally, with Donald Trump out of the way, there's not a thing we can't do. He was speaking in Iowa. He said, our ability to compete is incredible. We're the wealthiest country in the history of the world. We have more great research in our universities. But he said, with Trump out of the way, we've never been in a better position to lead the world in the 21st century and restore America's integrity and word around the world. So, folks, that's why I'm running. I plan on winning Iowa, he said. With Donald Trump out of the way, there's not a thing we can't do. Let's go to Ryan calling in from Dodgeville, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
You know, it's just amazing that people like Bernie Sanders, he's confessed socialist, accused Trump of the exact same thing that he's doing. He does not understand our Constitution, our freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and that's exactly the same thing they did in the socialist countries. They took over the media, brainwashed the people, took away their guns so they couldn't defend themselves. The euthanasia, if Bernie Sanders gets in there, if you go into a nursing home, you're costing money, you'll be euthanized. Okay, and that's the socialistic system, and that's all I have to say about that.
Thank you for your call here today, Ryan. Michelle is calling from Oregon. You're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air. Hello, Michelle.
Oh, I am. Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, what I don't quite understand is what Bernie Sanders said and then the president. And how come the president can't just put a stop to it? You know, just because it's such a farce, why can't he? I mean, he is the president. Can't he make them stop in any way?
No, you can't make them stop what the other candidates are saying.
Really?
Okay, thank you. Melvin in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment on the president. I think he's one of the best presidents we've ever had. And these Democrats, if they get in there, them liberals, Bernie Sanders, he's hard, and them all them Democrats against the best president we've ever had, for them concerned. And I'd like to see them sit down. They're trying to destroy the president, and I think we need to pray about this and ask the Lord to remove that evil bunch out of power before they take their country over. It may be heading up towards the last days, you know, and on earth, and we need to be praying for president and for country. And, you know, last days, it's a falling away, you know, you can tell it is. So it's bad times fixing to hit us here, so we need to be praying for president. I just want as people, Christian people, do that. And next time we have election, I hope a lot of Democrats and Republicans will vote for him, keeping up, so we may need him in there to work. You're a wise man.
Thank you, Melvin, for your call. Lord willing, Tuesday we'll be having that special emphasis on prayer as it relates to the upcoming election. More in Minnesota. We have Rex calling. You're on the air, Rex.
Hi, Jim. This is Rex Peterson. And, well, all of this stuff by the Democrats on President Trump is all part of a just just to get him out of office. It's a coup against him by the Democrats. See, he didn't say anything to the Ukraine president, and he's against this so-called climate change and all of that. They wanna get him out of office more than any other president, just because of his views and stands on what's right. So,
okay, thank you for your thoughts, Rex. We've got Mary in Racine, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment that what Bernie Sanders said, and someone else might have mentioned this, but it does seem like he's talking about himself. He is, I think, would be very dangerous for our freedom and for our country. That's all.
Okay, thank you, Mary. Thanks. Appreciate your call here today. And next we have Ricky in Adams, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Ricky.
Yes, I want people to understand what Bernie Sanders is saying when he said that if they get rid of Trump, they'd be able to do anything.
That was Biden who said that.
Well, Biden, either one, but they're not talking about they can do anything with the people. They're talking about their government can do anything, and I believe it's to us.
Okay, thank you for your thoughts here today. Here on Crosstalk, let's go next to Matt in Baraboo, Wisconsin. Matt, you're on the air.
Hi, I largely agree with a lot of the statements Bernie made. When I look at the language he's used to describe women and how he grabs them, I look at the numerous lies, how he turned his back on the Kurds, saluting a North Korean general. He really is not a good moral person.
Okay, thank you for your comments here today, Matt. And I'm going to try and squeeze a couple more in here on the phones and down here to just a minute here. And caller, go ahead, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, talking about socialism. I talked to one guy, he lived, I think, in Norway, and he married a woman in Canada, and he was on his way coming through Michigan here, and we were talking about socialism. Oh, gee, you don't want that, he says.
Mm-hmm.
He says when he retired over there, he says they take half. That's how they can pay for all these expensive programs like free colleges and so on and so forth. They'll hit the middle class, too. And so, in other words, if you made $1,000 a month retirement, I mean, of course, they made more. They're kind of well-to-do. But anyway, he says they'll take about $500. You'll end up with $500 whether you like it or not, mm-hmm. and you got to live with that. Socialism is bad, bad medicine, boy. Praise the Lord that he's still on the throne and he's guiding his country. But I'll tell you, you don't want socialism. That's communism in a mild form.
Thank you so much for your call. We're going to squeeze one last call on Mark in New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yes. I just basically want to make a statement that, you know, all it's going to actually be is we need to pray. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our leaders that they become God-fearing people.
Yeah. Amen.
That's my statement. I mean, that's what it all comes down to.
It really does. It really does, Mark. Thank you. We're out of time. And I trust that even as you've heard these stories today on the News Roundup Day, that it burdens your hearts to be in prayer. It's not a game, folks. It's not life going on as usual. We live in perilous times, and the importance for us to be salt in our light and light here in our community is critically important. Thanks for joining us today and all this week here on Crosstalk. It's Friday. The Lord's Day is coming. Trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.